In the special sidebar for resilient prepping, we're going to talk about blending high tech with low tech or even no tech, because there is a role for certain types of technology that can help you survive in a low tech or no tech collapse scenario. And there are really two types of technology. One type is a redundancy system, or in crypto, peer-to-peer networking. They are inherently more redundant, and they are failure-resistant and censorship-resistant because of their distributed nature. So where there is a power grid functioning, because it's not going to be a total blackout everywhere all the time, people will be able to trade crypto and use crypto in exchanges, probably right alongside silver coins and junk silver and gold and ammunition and other things. So what I see is a thriving local barter economy where people use a variety of systems of money. There may be the coins, like I said, physical gold. People might trade bullets, and they might also trade crypto when the grid is working. And it's not going to be working all the time, so people are going to get used to being able to use different kinds of systems of money. But I do think that crypto has a very important role to play, even in a collapsed system. You might think, well, how does crypto function if the grid is down? How do you get the consensus? And the true answer is not all coins are going to do that well. I think Bitcoin is not really designed to function well in a collapsed system, but there are other types of coins, such as Monero, which is a privacy coin, that really is mathematically designed to function far better in a collapsed system where you have, you know, a limited number of peers. So I'm not going to get into all the details of that today, but it's something to look into. And even though I do not advocate crypto speculation, I've been a strong opponent of that. I think there's far too much hype and far too much sort of get-rich-quick attitudes in the crypto community. I also believe that crypto can have a very important role to play in a semi-collapsed scenario because of the advantages of crypto, which is the mobility, the resiliency, the distributed nature of its infrastructure, and the fact that it allows people to essentially carry around a large amount of, quote, money in a small space and in a form that is very, very liquid. Now, the second area of technology to consider that's very useful in a collapse scenario is what you might call desktop manufacturing. And this includes 3D printers, which are an additive technology that creates objects by adding layers. And I'm very familiar with 3D printers. I've used them to manufacture parts that we've been selling at the Health Ranger store, actually, for many years. I've run a 3D printer farm, and I've done all the CAD 3D design myself. I designed all the parts that we sell. And then there's also then a subtractive technology, and I've used those as well. And that would be like a desktop laser etching system, for example, or a desktop CNC machine that uses a rotating drill bit or a router bit in order to create objects made out of wood or polymers. And we've used those as well. We have a large CNC routing machine that has been creating the lids for the Food Rising grow box, you know, the mini farm grow box systems. And that's done with a computer controlled CNC machine. I also have a desktop laser system where I've been able to get a high-powered laser that's controlled from a laptop, and I use a piece of software called LightBurner, which is a paid software. It's not very expensive. And when you have the right settings, you can use a laser to essentially cut objects such as wood, as long as it's not too thick. And you can cut polymers or polyethylene, which is what I'm using it for. And you can also do etching or designs. You can actually burn designs into metal. Some people use this to create patterns on, let's say, gun frames or an AR-15 lower receiver. They want to burn, I don't know, an American flag into it or something, and they can use these laser systems to do that, and it works. So why are these systems important to recognize? Well, because in a low-tech environment, the global supply chain is really, really compromised. Oh, I forgot. One more thing is metal smelting and casting. I guess casting is the better term for this. So there's casting and there's sand casting. So you take metal, you melt it in a small crucible, as it's called. It's made out of graphite, temperature resistant. You know, you can melt these metals. You can buy these, I don't know what you call them, small foundries or metal casting devices. You can get them for a few $100s up to a few $1,000s, and you melt metal, and then you can pour metal into a mold. And sand casting is using a special kind of sand to create the shape of the object that you want to pour. Let's say you wanted to make a metal wrench for some reason, like you've run out of wrenches. You need a big wrench. And so you could melt the metal with this system, with a crucible, and you create a wrench-shaped mold in sand. Or let's say you wanted to melt down a bunch of silver and pour out a 100-ounce silver bar to use as barter or something. So you can buy a 100-ounce silver mold, and then you can melt down silver, such as, I don't know, old jewelry or whatever, and you can pour out a silver bar. So these technologies then, think about it, 3D printing, cryptocurrency, desktop lasers, CNC machines, and then casting systems. All of these kinds of systems are in some ways high tech, but they allow you to maintain your life in a low tech environment. Why? Because they allow you to make parts. So one of the most difficult challenges is going to be getting spare parts for all the things that you need to keep your life running. And even if you're doing low-tech agriculture, you may have relatively low-tech machines that still have metal parts, like, you know, a rake head, for example, or a hoe head. Or you might need a knife or a blade. You might need a part for a tractor that you have, like an older tractor like the ones I own, that are very low-tech tractors. They were built in the 1960s or 70s, for example. They don't have any circuit boards, but they still have parts. Well, maybe you have a part that's been cracked, and it's a metal part, you know, some kind of a bushing or something, or a clamp, and you can't get the part because society's all shut down. So what do you got to do? You have to make the part. In that case, you would want to do metal casting because you can't make it out of, you know, 3D printed filament. It would just fall apart. And you can't make it out of a CNC machine unless you have, I don't know, raw aluminum blocks and you want to make that part out of aluminum and you know how to set the machine with the right bits and the right speeds and everything in order to do routing, you know, router operations for aluminum blocks, which is possible, by the way. And that's what the Ghost Gunner machine does for making AR-15 lower receivers out of essentially either an 80% receiver or a block of aluminum. You can actually make gun parts. And that's another application for all of this, by the way. Making gun parts could become very, very critical for your survival. So there is a role for technology in a survival scenario. There's also a role for solar panels and a solar generator and lithium batteries that can store your power and so on, that can charge devices. There's a role for welding machines as part of metal fabrication. So I don't want you to think that all technology is bad in terms of your preparedness. Sometimes the right technologies can be very, very helpful. The hard part is keeping those technologies up and running if they break. Fortunately, in the realm of, let's say, 3D printing, the 3D printing machines that I've owned have been incredibly robust, and I have not had problems. I've been running many of them for years. And they have not had issues. Their parts are very simple and very easy to maintain. A similar thing is with lasers, you know, desktop laser etching devices. They're very simple, unless your laser diode goes out, in which case you just need a new laser. So you might want to stock up on some laser diodes. CNC machines will last a long time if you keep them properly lubricated, but you will need to stock up on extra router bits, for example. But casting machinery is very robust and will last a lifetime if you take care of it. You know, it's not like there's any real parts to wear out if you're doing a bunch of metal casting. So think about all of these technologies, and it's not a bad idea to become familiar with them. And I'm doing that myself, making sure that I've got the skills, or at least the basics, to know how to run crypto, or how do I run metal casting equipment? How do I run 3D printers and CNC controlled routing machines and desktop lasers and all of these things? And as a result, I know that if I get into a situation where I'm in desperate need for certain spare parts, I probably have a way to make that part. It might take a lot of time, it might be a lot of trouble, but I can probably manufacture most of the parts that I would need, at least small parts. And that's a very valuable skill when it comes to resiliency, redundancy, and so on. And in many cases, it may actually be a local business. So if you get good at manufacturing certain parts that other people need, then you could find yourself in a very sweet position where you end up manufacturing these parts and then bartering them to other people in exchange for food or silver coins or what have you. So think about that as well. You are going to have, you know, some kind of knowledge about or skill set of how to contribute to the economy in a post-collapse scenario. And by the way, that reminds me, I've done an entire audiobook that covers that scenario in great detail. That audiobook is also free of charge, and it's called Ghost World. And you can download that at ghostworld.co. And the reason you might want that book is because it covers a broad array of skills and things you might need to know in order to survive and function in a post-collapse economy, even when the population has been cut to a fraction of its current level. So download that for free at ghostworld.co.